You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Nina Haas is one of Germany's most celebrated theater and film actresses. Her latest movie, Barbara, was one of the hits of this year's New York Film Festival. In it, she plays Barbara Wolf, a young doctor who has applied for an exit visa from the German Democratic Republic and, as punishment, has been transferred from a prestigious post in East Berlin to a small rural pediatric hospital. Although she's a doctor who's devoted to her patients, she's making plans to escape to the West. The film opens today at the Angelica and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome Nina Haas to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Didn't you grow up in West Germany? Did you spend much time in the East?
No, actually, I was I was born in the west of Germany in Stuttgart, where Mercedes-Benz comes from, so deep in the west. And I was 14 when the wall came down, so I never visited the GDR, and I remember having that feeling that I never got the concept as a child that you have a state who won't allow its people to leave and come back whenever they want to and express what they're feeling or thinking. And they do it by saying, because we love you. That was my first impression of the GDR.
Well, you weren't in Berlin, where you might have been more aware of the division.
No.
At that time, if you grew up in West Germany, did the GDR just seem like a totally different country? It might as well have been Poland or Czechoslovakia?
In a way, yes. If you didn't have any family in the GDR and you had no reason to go there and actually dive into how this other part of your country is like, then you didn't have any attachment. The only thing I had was when the Olympics were on. And you were angry that they were always winning.
Although later you found out that they were taking all sorts of performance enhancement drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Barbara is a period piece, which it has a historically driven plot. So did the actors have to do research along with the writer, the director, the costume and set designers?
Yeah, we all did. I mean, if I talk about myself, I read lots of books from that area, from Christoph Wolff is one, Christoph Hein, all these.
Christoph Wolff was a prominent East German writer.
Yeah, exactly. And she, in her books, you find a lot about, I was interested in the atmosphere since I never experienced it, this being mistrustful all the time, not being able to trust anyone around you, especially if you're in the situation that Barbara is in, that the state is already on you. Since I've never experienced it, I needed to find out about that. How does it feel?
Well, this is not a documentary. You could just simply play from the script, but is it important to get into the mood? Did you listen to Wolf Behrmann, for example?
Yes. Actually, I came
up with
that.
He was a guest on our show many years ago.
No.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. So he's a very famous singer-songwriter.
Well, he was a dissident
exactly.
East German. And when he went to the West, everybody wanted him to say the West is much better, and he wasn't ready to do that because he was also a committed communist who just felt that the East German government had betrayed its communist ideals.
Yeah. And you know what? The funny thing is I grew up with him. He stayed at our house whenever he was in Stuttgart playing, and he was good friends with my father. So I sympathized, or I could understand how people are sentimental about the idea, you know.
Well, you do also have the advantage of people being around who lived through it, who you could probably talk about this experience. And then I'm assuming that it's important to get things right because many of the people who'll see the film will say, no, that's not the way it was.
True.
If you get anything wrong.
True. I mean, we really wanted to have a respectful look on these biographies. And really, because what I sensed when I came to Berlin in 1995, I sensed that they were very thankful for the wall to come down, for having this freedom, for living in a democracy now. But also they felt that the West kind of didn't ask any questions. They just said, well, now you can be happy. Now you're out of prison and must have been horrible, you know. And of course, I mean, it's 40 years of their lives, you know, and they wanted to talk about it and express themselves. So we wanted to be very careful there and cautious. Not too kind, but realistic, let's say.
I understand that during the rehearsals, one of the actresses in the film talked about her having wanted to leave East Germany at the end of the 70s by defecting during a theater tour in the West. And she described her sadness when she accepted dinner invitations from friends, knowing that she would not be there for those dinner invitations.
Yeah, yeah.
She couldn't talk about it.
No.
And she might never see them again.
Exactly. And that helped me so much when I found out that she actually went through that, because that's exactly what Barbara is going through. And this moment of lying into someone else's face whom you care for, and knowing that you might never ever see this person again, and that you actually have to leave with a lie. She explained to me what went on inside of her, and which was hot and cold and hot and cold. She said, "You can't imagine what turmoil I was in when I actually had to lie."
Now, in a number of the films I've seen about East Germany, the directors purposely desaturated the color. Made sure that everybody looked as miserable as possible. Your director, Christian Petzold, somebody you've worked with a number of times in the past, resisted that approach.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make it look like a normal country where there were some pretty awful things happening.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you must feel, along with Barbara, that it's hard to leave your home. You know, and it's not that, of course, there is this side of the GDR where it's gray and, you know, and it because they didn't have the money to renovate houses or whatever. So it was falling apart slowly. But also the sun was shining, the grass was green, people fell in love. And I mean, as I said before, they lived their life, you know, and to leave that behind is hard. And by making the colors vibrant and colorful, I think that you get that.
And he says that at the time he was preparing for this, he watched Howard Hawks To Have and Have Not with Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
Do you see any similarities between the lovers here and the ones in Hawks' film?
Yeah, it was actually, we watched the first scene. I mean, we watched the whole movie, but what it was about was the first scene when Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart meet. And she's having a cigarette, but she doesn't have a lighter. So he throws a box of matches towards it, and she's able to catch it and throws it back to him. And the way they tease each other, and it was just about, because that's mainly what goes on with Barbara and André, that they, underneath of what they're saying, they flirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why we were watching it.
You wanted the sense that there's a subtext there,
exactly,
rather than overt flirtation.
Yeah, and the tension. And Barbara is quite, she's really teasing him and provoking him, and he can handle it. And that's why he's attractive to her.
My guest is Nina Haas, who is starring in a film called Barbara that is opening today at the Angelica and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. It was one of the hits of the recent New York Film Festival. Well, you not only ask people who live there what Germany sounded like, even what it smelled like. And then the film has this old East German trolley. Are people still driving Trabants, which Time magazine has called one of the worst cars ever?
I actually enjoyed sitting in one because it's very noisy. You know, it's super noisy. It's so loud you actually have to scream at each other to understand.
The motor was that loud.
Yeah, yeah. And no, it's getting less and less. It's more of a historical vehicle, really. You can, if you're in Berlin, you can make a Trabi safari, really, and rent them, and then just trying to get this experience back.
In the film, there's a sign with the motto, "Optimism leads us into the future," which is ironic when you think of how the Stasi humiliate the character you play, Barbara, whenever they can, as a way of controlling her?
Yeah, definitely. Well, of making her see that she's being put in the right place, you know, that and on her.
And not surprisingly, Barbara is very guarded in her relations with almost everyone, very reserved, comes across as kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects this flirtation with André, her colleague at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It must have some kind of effect on her professional relationship, because doctors have to have a certain amount of trust in each other.
Yeah, I thought for me it was important that she has, although she has this defensive wall and kind of makes everyone see, I you don't get to me, I am, I won't let you hurt me, I'm not vulnerable at all. Of course, there's another side because no human being can go through with that, you know, all the time. And I thought where she really opens up and she can't help it is in her profession. So as soon as she gets in contact with her patient, she is empathetic. Is that a word?
Yeah. Yes.
So she's empathetic. And in that moment, she has the fellow doctor. So he can reach her. You know, in those moments, she has to open up because she's really passionate about her work.
She has this patient, Stella, who arrives at the hospital suffering from meningitis, and Stella immediately latches on to Barbara as her savior. But when Andre, during this flirtation that the audience is quite aware of, when he confides to Barbara that he wound up in this particular post, which is in the middle of nowhere, it was in self-exile after an intern whose work he was overseeing made a tragic, unintentional mistake that caused the blindness of two young children. She is suspicious. Mm-hmm. She's suspicious of everything.
Yeah.
And that's part of the point of the film, that you were living in a society where you couldn't trust anything anybody told you.
No, I mean, you had examples where husbands betrayed their wives. You know, they spied on them for years, you know, and they only found out after the wall came down. So you really couldn't trust anyone.
Wasn't this film, to a large extent, shot chronologically?
Yes, it was.
Is that something that you as an actor prefer?
Yeah, definitely. Because you know what you've done already, what you think is maybe missing, what kind of little detail you want to give to that part, and you know it's still coming. So if you don't shoot chronologically, you really have to have everything in mind of how you want
to. Am I right now?
Yeah, exactly. And that you don't have this urge to show everything in one scene, you know, because you might not get the chance to do it anymore. So if you shoot chronologically, it calms you down.
Can you ever remember a time when you weren't an actor? You were doing radio plays when you were still a child.
Yeah, when I was 7, I started doing that.
And then you appeared on the stage when you were 14?
Yes. I was very passionate about all of that since I was little. So I never had this moment of now I know what I want to do.
You weren't pushed into it by your parents?
No, not at all. Not at all.
This is your 5th film with Christian Petzold. You've also worked with him in theater. Do you pretty much split your time between films and theater?
Yes, I am a member of an ensemble in Berlin called the Deutsche Theater. And I pretty much do 2 theater works and 2 movies somehow. Yeah.
And that's a nice little career, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
You have also supported the Make Poverty History campaign, which fights female genital cutting.
Yes.
How did you get involved in that work?
Because I was shooting a movie called The White Maasai in Africa, in Kenya at that time. And I got very close to that topic because I saw little girls being joyful thinking about that procedure. And you're there and you think, oh my God, I can't just say something now because it's such a big tradition. But when I came back, I said, definitely we have to create an awareness about that problem.
And you are a goodwill ambassador to the state of Pará in Brazil because concern of the destruction of the rainforest?
Yes, that had a lot to do with my father's work. He was a development worker, can you say that? He created a project in the north of Brazil, in Belém. And it had a lot to do with his work, really, and his project.
There are debates in this country over whether entertainers should get involved in politics. Mm-hmm. Is it more accepted in Germany?
Yeah, I think it's the same. It's the same discussion as over here. I do think, as an artist, I think it's better to keep out of the day-to-day political world, because then you're more able to express your opinion, you know, without being related to any party or something like that.
Nina Huss is starring in Barbara, a film from Germany that opens today at the Angelica and the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having me.